You know, when you're looking for a home, sometimes you find some really, really good opportunities, some really good prices and what you get for the money. And you're just like, how is this even possible? This doesn't make any sense. Well, did you ever consider maybe it's haunted? That's exactly what happened to a family in a recent EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear about it, then click Become an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Your support by being an EPP of only $5 a month helps keep our show on the air. Covers all those hard costs we have of distributing this show. We greatly appreciate it. Without our EPPs, this show would not continue. So if you want it to continue, please consider supporting it on the website, Real Ghost Stories Online. Click Become an EPP. Get all our bonus episodes and more. Thank you very much for your support. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again for another fright-filled episode of Ghost Stories.
Or you.
Do you like it when I speak like that? Fright-filled episode of Ghost? I don't know why my voice suddenly rose there or not. Anyhow, that's what we're doing today. It's open lines. It's your Real Ghost Stories. At 855-853-4802. I'm doing well.
Good.
And yourself?
I'm good.
I got another photo in today. Actually, it's been kind of going on the past couple of days. One of our listeners sent in some ghost photos, and we always welcome you sending in ghost photos. Matt is his name, and a good listener, and he took some photos, and he's like, what big description of, you know, what, you know, and he's speculating on what he thinks these things may be in the photo. And I'm looking at it, and for the life of me, I'm like, I don't see anything in this photo. Like, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was getting ready for a hunting trip, or a camping trip, rather. And it was a picture of all of his hunting gear and stuff. So there's a bunch of random items on a table, and then a bunch of water jugs below. And he said he took the picture because he wanted to show his buddy how many water jugs he was going to be hauling on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then off in the corner, he was talking about these entities that he was seeing. And he sends me the photos, and they're kind of fuzzy, and I don't know if it got, like, downgraded in photo quality just by sending it, because sometimes when you send things via email, the server will downgrade your photo, essentially,
sure,
to be a little more blurry, and it sends faster. But anyway, I'm looking at it, and it's like, there's a bunch of stuff on your table. You know, you're going back and forth, and he's like, no, it's right there. And he's telling me exactly where to look, and I'm staring. I'm like, I don't see it. I don't. It looks like you got some blankets on your table. And I mean, the blank or the what looks like blankets or sheets or clothes kind of balled up is what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of has, I mean, looks somewhat face like, but it looks like clothes balled up on a table. And he's like, no, those are the three things. I don't know what they are. I'm like, did you have clothes on your table? Because, I mean, to the naked eye, It does not look like a paranormal photo at all. And I'm hoping he can send me some befores if he took any without those there. But he's telling me that these three things that are kind of facial-like looking are the odd things that were not there in real life.
Okay.
That were in his photo. And that's what he was freaking out about, because he was well aware that these items or these objects were not really there. But to the naked eye and someone who's not necessarily, you know, even mm-hmm. if you are looking for something paranormal like I was, still, it didn't look like anything of the sort. So, I don't know.
That's weird if it's just random objects showing up in pictures.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, they're very oddly shaped, and he was kind of freaked out by him, but I felt kind of bad because it kept coming, like, replying, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. But then he finally said, no, what you think is nothing is actually something.
Okay.
So it's always an adventure when I'm looking at ghost photos, because sometimes you kind of get a bit of a mist or something, and people, like, see the eyes and the mouth and the nose. I'm like, no, but I do see the mist. This one, I didn't see anything, but when he points out what it is clear as day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell it is.
Oh, no.
It's kind of blob-like.
Okay.
It'd be like if the, what were those things? on Star Trek. I never watched Star Trek, but I know there was the famous episode, Little Furry Things.
On Star Trek?
You know what I'm talking about? It was a real famous episode, and they were like attacked by these little furry like creatures.
The old Star Trek?
The old, oh, yes.
I never watched that one.
I can't think of what the name of it was. It like a Weeble or something? I don't think it's a Weeble. I don't know.
I don't know
what Weeble even is. But it's like some weird, funky name.
Uh-huh.
It would be kind of like if some of those were sitting on a table.
Okay.
It's just very odd things. So anyhow, if you have a real ghost picture or something unexplained, do feel free to send it in to us. Be happy to give you our opinion on it, and we may post it on our website as well. Phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write in through the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to our first caller today. Hi.
Hi, this is Sarah from Omaha, Nebraska, first-time caller. I started listening about a month ago when a friend of mine insisted that I listen to this amazing podcast. So I guess I've been sensitive all my life, and I have all kinds of stories, from fun Ouija board stories to things that mimic to things that have followed me everywhere I go, and I don't even know where to start telling stories. So I suppose I'll just start with a couple, things that I've noticed. For one thing, I think it might have been Jenny. Again, I'm listening to really old, like, back podcasts from about a year ago, so forgive me for bringing up old things, but I think it might have been Jenny who mentioned that even though there are a lot of men who are sensitive, it seems like when it's passed down through families, it seems to be in the women. And this is something that I've noticed because, you know, for me, it is passed down through my family and on my father's side, but through the females. I got it from my grandmother, actually, and all the way back through her line of women. Whereas, we kind of talk on the show about how some people have this and other people have nothing. And I laugh because my mother, who is a believer, but she has never had a single experience, and we joke that you could put her in a room with 100 ghosts and she would not feel a thing. So that's kind of just one of those things that, you know, I've heard brought up before, and I wanted to kind of comment on that. I completely agree with this because that is, you know, that is something that I've experienced all my life. My entire family, you know, my father, my brother, my mother, none of them have ever experienced anything. And even though my mom believes everything I tell her, she has never felt or seen or heard a single thing. But on my grandmother's side, all of the women, we're all born Geminis, and I don't put a lot of stock in astrology, but I always did find it interesting that we were all born as Geminis, and we all have this sensitivity. So that's kind of one thing. Another thing, you know, kind of sticking to that same thing, is that my friend, the one who turned me on to the podcast, she also is extremely into the paranormal, but seems that like a lot of things don't happen to her either. And we kind of laugh because we can be doing these kind of things and, you know, messing around or jokingly trying to talk to spirits or whatever, you know, and a lot of the time it's just for fun. And, you know, maybe something will happen or there'll be some kind of activity, but it seems like every time she comes into the room, everything just stops. And everybody kind of teases her about that because she's so into this. And I kind of laugh about how Tony always says that he would like to see a ghost, but never has. And then there are people who, you know, experience these things all their lives and go through these kind of things. And I have this friend who I've known for so many years who, you know, got me into this podcast saying, oh my God, Sarah, you have to listen to this podcast. They're telling ghost stories. It's amazing. But it seems like she does not have any experiences of her own, no matter how much she may want them. And I kind of wonder to myself sometimes, do the spirits, you know, sometimes know, oh my God, this person, you know, they're really into this. Let's, you know, I almost feel like sometimes they're just being assholes because it seems like she's the one who wants it the most and never gets the experience. Kind of switching gears a little bit. Again, on a really, really old episode, there was a guy who talked about how he had a sort of premonition of when people were going to die. And I remember Tony saying, wow, a death sense. Like, what a horrible thing that must be. Wouldn't it just be awful to be able to sense when people are going to die? You know, what a terrible power. And I had to laugh because that is something that I have, actually. when people close to me die, I have premonitions about it. And yes, it is terrible. It is actually very horrible. I had a very good friend who lived in England, and like I said, I live in Nebraska. We'd spent quite a bit of time together, and our mothers both developed breast cancer at the same time. And one night I was in my college dorm, this was years ago, and I went to bed that night and I had this horrible dream that I was walking in this creepy park at dusk, and it was all covered in fog, and it was, you know, poorly lit, like that Silent Hill feel. And there was one park bench there all by itself, and here's my friend sitting on the park bench sobbing in this creepy, eerie fog. And I walked up to her, and she looked at me, and she said, my mom died. And I, like, woke up from this dream in a cold sweat, and my phone rings. And I look at the number on the phone, and I knew it was from overseas, and I picked up the phone, and it was her. And she said, Sarah, my mom died. And I said, I know. And, you know, it could have been this one-time deal. I did know she had cancer, but I didn't know she was, you know, that far gone. I didn't know she was that ill. It was a terrible, terrible thing. And then a few years later, I was having a dream that I was sitting at my grandmother's kitchen table, and we were talking, and, you know, like we normally would do in everyday life, we were just chatting and talking about the weather or whatever, you know, whatever we talked about. I can't really remember what we were conversing about in the dream. And all of a sudden in the dream, she just vanished from the table, and I was sitting there all by myself. And then I woke up, and it was 3:30 in the morning, and I had the most horrible chest pain, and I couldn't go back to sleep, and I was so distraught, and I didn't know what was going on, and this dream was just driving me. I couldn't sleep, and I paced up and down in my room, and a couple hours later, I get a phone call from my mom, and she said, Grammy died. And I said, you know, I really didn't say anything at that moment. I didn't know what to say, and I found out from my grandfather a few hours after that, she died at about 3:30 in the morning of a heart attack. And, you know, there's been a couple more like that. Thankfully, not that many people in my life have died, but each time somebody close to me has passed away, I've had a dream premonition where they died. Not necessarily where they died in the dream, but where something happened and I woke up and I knew they were dead. And so now, anytime I have one of these kind of dreams, I'm like, oh my God, is somebody dying? And it's been terrible. You know, just a couple of weird things. I actually have a lot of really interesting ghost stories, but I will save those for another call. So, sorry about my rambling. I've never called before, and I feel a little bit weird about it. Love the show. I will continue to catch up on the backlog episodes and hopefully get to the new one soon. Thanks.
I bet she's glad she got that off her chest.
You think so?
Yeah, that call right there, I think, really kind of defines what we used to say on the show a long time ago. Group therapy for the paranormally affected.
Yeah.
That very much was that right there. I mm-hmm. mean, someone relating to the experiences that happen on this show and not feeling so alone.
I agree. You know, it's funny that she mentioned all the women in her family being Geminis mm-hmm. and all being sensitive. I'm a Gemini, but my mom's sensitive as well. If you ask her, she'll say no, but she is. But she's not a Gemini. And so I just kind of, at first I thought, ooh, maybe there is a correlation there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
I don't know. I mean, I honestly, I don't know a whole lot about astrology. And so it's, I can't say I put a lot of stock in it or I don't put a lot of stock in it because I don't know enough about it to give an opinion.
I've never met somebody that I got to know that didn't fit the description of their sun sign.
Really?
You were such a Leo, for sure. And I mean that in a good way.
Sure, I don't know. I just, I don't, and I'm not, and maybe it's one of those things where if I was more aware of what all the signs meant and, you know, what they say that person is going to be like, and if I knew what the person's birth date was, you know, maybe more of that would make sense to me, but I've never really paid attention to any of it.
You know, and I thought about, too, when she was talking about how she's, you know, they've all wanted to have experiences, and her friends really wanted to have an experience. It's just like curly hair for a girl. A girl with curly hair spends her whole life trying to straighten it and not have to deal with it, and then the rest of us are always trying to curl it. It's if you've got it, you don't want it, and if you don't have it, you want it.
Yeah. That's how it works with the paranormal.
It is.
Either you have it or you don't, and the people who don't want it, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you've not done so yet, please consider becoming an EPP. Last week's EPP episode put a lot of time into telling one of those stories that we got in, and it's just filled with all sorts of, you know, it's a sad story. It's a real story. It's something that affected a lot of people in real life many years ago, and still obviously does affect people today. But it's amazing where it begins, because it begins a year before a tragedy took place with someone having a premonition. Then the tragedy takes place, and then many years after the tragedy took place, there's another chapter with the paranormal events that surround an individual in the same area where this horrible thing happened. And it's told by the person who had these things happen to them. We put a lot of production into it to really make it a compelling piece, and I'm proud of it. It's kind of like you when you work on things with chalk paint in the other room, and work on your projects and stuff. When I'm able to put together an audio piece and get real dorky with how I'm putting music in certain places here and there, and effects here and there, and pauses, and it's my dorkiness, my radio dorkiness that comes out, because it's like, yes, this has really turned out good.
It's a creative outlet.
It is. It's a big creative outlet. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed it if you've already heard it. If not, please become an EPP and check it out. It's one of those things that, you know, I'm going to try and get more of those in there, because I really enjoy putting those together. And it's a very compelling story. So check it out. It's you guys becoming EPPs allows us to continue to share these stories that you guys have. So please support the community. Only $5 a month. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to Jackie in Wisconsin. Hi.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. This is Jackie from Wisconsin again. I was just listening to your most recent podcast, and somebody called in about their house hunting adventures, and I thought I should share mine. When we were looking for houses, I am pretty sensitive to things. We probably looked at 30 different houses. I must have drove our realtor absolutely batty, driving him all over the countryside looking for houses. There was one house that we went into. We walked in, you know, it was a nice little town. We walked into the house. Big, beautiful kitchen that most people would just absolutely love. And I didn't see, but I got a really distinct feeling of somebody dead laying on the floor in the kitchen. And I'm just like, I grabbed my husband's hand and I said, I really don't want to look at the rest of the house. He doesn't feel anything, but he knows how sensitive I am. And he's like, let's just, you know, he drove all the way out here. Let's just walk through. And, you know, we walked through the house and I just had the most oppressive feeling in that house. It was just crazy. We didn't buy that house, and we looked at several others. The house that we ended up buying wasn't anywhere in the area that we were looking for. It kind of came to us after a really bad sickness with my then 15-month-old, and he had gotten so sick that they wouldn't move him into ICU. And we were in the hospital for like 4 or 5 days, and we had a bid on a house, an offer on a house, and I believe it was that house that had actually gotten him so sick. So I think there was mold in the basement, and he was really sensitive to it. Anyway, we pulled that offer. As soon as I got home, I went online and did a for sale by owner, which is one of the ways I was searching for houses, and a different search had come up that I didn't usually use, and it listed all the homes in Wisconsin, not just where you had to put in, like, your certain city. And I was just thumbing through. I was so beat. I was so worn out from this whole ordeal with my son. And I was, kind of looking at the pictures, and then all of a sudden I see this little tiny thumbnail of this house, and I look at it, and I said, oh my God, it's our house. And it's probably, 3 miles away from, or 3 hours away from work or something, But I looked at it. It was actually within driving distance to both of our works. Like I said, it wasn't where we were looking, but it was exactly in our price range. We came down, we saw it. I immediately felt like I knew the house. I knew the area. I knew what was our property and what wasn't. And it's a really strange property line. And the guy had just listed the house. He had told us, if we didn't show up, that he was going to pull it off the market because he couldn't find anything else that he wanted. But since we showed up and we had a family, he thought the house deserved a family. And we moved in, and the first night that we spent in the house, I was laying down, kind of relaxing, and I heard kind of in my head, kind of all around me, welcome home, welcome back. And immediately I felt like I had, in a past life or something, been in this house. I know so many weird things about this house that I really shouldn't know. It's kind of weird. We've got neighbors that have lived there for 40, 50 years that, used to play in the house when they were kids that, would tell me things, and I'm just like, oh yeah, I knew that, and the house had been changed and stuff. But I feel so comfortable in this house, and I know that there's a spirit living here that's happy to have us. Before I finally looked on Zillow, and the house had been through had been turned over so many times in, the past, 30 years, every couple of years there was somebody new in the house, which really, to me, kind of indicates that there was a really fairly bad haunting. But whoever's here haunting the place really loves us. So it's been great. And you guys are awesome. And keep it up. I love the community that you've built. All right. Have a great day. Bye.
I don't know if it's entities within homes or like the homes themselves and the energy they hold, but there's something about them that sometimes when you walk in, you just know. You're just either drawn to it or you just know that that's where you're going to be. And there's, I think, that same kind of energy or draw that after you leave a home like that, you still feel drawn to it.
Mm-hmm. Whoever has this house 80 years from now,
mm-hmm.
is going to be very, very upset because anything they do to change the aesthetic appearance of the inside, you're going to be attacking them, aren't you?
I'm not. No.
No!
When somebody else has the house, it's theirs. As long as they take care of it, I don't care.
Can you give design tips and ideas on how to aesthetically improve the interior of a house from the grave? I wonder if we're going to have that in the future. With so many people who've gotten really into, doing projects around their home and doing this and that, that did exist in the past, but there's a peak to that right now. More, I think, than ever in the past because of things like Pinterest and stuff. Do you think there will be a army of ghosts all these years later of Pinterest fanatics who are very upset when their home is tinkered with by the new tenants long after they're gone?
I don't know. I think it could depend on, if you're a big follower on Pinterest, you know how quickly things change and
sure.
how quickly things come in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So you're probably more willing to go with the flow.
If you like what they're doing, though.
Yeah.
It's a matter of opinion. It could be a lot of home interior hauntings. That's a show. Home Interior Haunting.
Designed by Death.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, there you go. It could be an HGTV show. They can add ghosts to their show, to their lineup somehow. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to Jill. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jill from Indiana. I was calling with a recent Halloween adventure. So here's what happened. Me and my girlfriend are both paranormal investigators, and we both have preteen children who know that we are investigators. And of course, we don't let them come with us. That's, you know, absolutely out of the question. But because it's Halloween, they wanted us to take them somewhere scary, somewhere haunted. So we do a thing every year with the kids where we call it Fright Night. And you know, they know the goal is that we are going to scare the Jesus out of you. So the kids all load up in the van, and we head out to a haunted location. Now, this is not actually a haunted location, but we tell the kids that it is. So we drive to this cemetery that we picked one that's out in the country so that we wouldn't have the noise or the lights from the city to detract from the spooky atmosphere of the cemetery. However, when we got there, this cemetery was not scary at all. There were little lights, like solar lights, on most of the graves. Some of them were angels. The path, the walkway, was very groomed and paved and lit with these solar lights. There are flowers everywhere. The shrubberies are cut into these spiral snow coney type shapes. This is not a scary cemetery. Oh, well, we're already here. So we park the van, and we turn around, and half of the kids have their knees up to their chest, and three of them have brought blankets with them to fight off the cold, of course, even though we're not getting out of the van. Everybody knew we were not getting out of the van, which I thought was hilarious, because as soon as they got scared, they would pull these blankets up over their head. These are like 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds. We're in the van, we're telling them spooky stories, the windows are down, and my girlfriend says, "What is that?" And we immediately start looking around and going, "Oh my God, what was that?" And the kids are like, "Roll the windows up, roll the windows up." Because as you know, ghosts can't come through windows. So, you know, we're trying to scare them, that's the point. So we roll the windows up, and my friend says, "Did you see that?" And I said, I did see that. And we're pretending to keep our voices low, but that just makes the kids lean in closer. And she says, "Do you think that was a person or a ghost?" And I said, "The only way to find out is to see if it has a face." And the kids just collectively gasp. And I say, "I'll go find out." And I grab my flashlight and jump out of the van before anybody can argue. As I walk about one car length away from the van, I can hear all the kids screaming and yelling about, "Oh my God, get her back in here. Somebody has to go get her." And, you know, I'm walking in the headlights of the van on a paved, lit road. This is not scary. But as I'm walking, I do see a black, shadowy something dart across the cemetery. And I thought, what was that? And I have my flashlight, which is also a taser. So I flick the switch from flashlight to taser because I'm not stupid and it could be a wild dog or something. It was moving very quickly. Then I hear the van door open and shut, and my own son got out of the van and starts walking towards me with his flashlight. And I say, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm not leaving my mom out here alone." I was pretty proud that he was brave enough to get out of the van. So he walks over to me, shaking like a leaf. I pretend not to notice, and we walk a little further. Then I see this shadow again, and as I'm tracking it with my eyes, I see him out of my peripheral also tracking it. This thing was darting so fast. If it was a dog, it was the fastest dog I've ever seen. And I have dogs. I don't think it was a dog. But it was low to the ground, and it was moving quickly, and it went behind one of the groom shrubberies. We kept walking towards it in that general direction. He just said, "Did you see that?" And I said, "I saw something." As we keep walking, the paved road turns to gravel, and we realize that now we're in the old section of the cemetery. And this part is creepy. It was oppressive. It was heavy. It was a feeling of something is here. The whole atmosphere changed. No more pretty lights, and definitely something ominous trying to push at you to go back. I looked at my son and I said, "I think we should go back." And he said, "Look, there it is." And I looked, and what I thought was a dog now looks like a man leaning around one of the shrubberies looking at us. But I shined my light at it, and no man. So I said, "Okay, we're going back to the van." I didn't like this because my son is here, and this was not supposed to be a haunted location. So we hustled our butts back to the van, and he told the other kids what they saw, and I didn't have to play it up any. And I looked at my girlfriend, who's also an investigator, and I said, "We should go, and next week we should bring a real team back." And she said, "Are you serious?" I said, "Yes, I'm serious." So that was the end of Fright Night. There was a lot of silly storytelling and screaming until it turned into more than we bargained for, and we had to bail because I don't agree with bringing children to haunted locations, obviously. But I was still impressed with my son for not having a blanket over his head and running. So that's our Halloween adventure. Hope everybody had a good, safe Halloween. Thanks.
There you go.
I think that's funny that you go looking for something haunted and you accidentally find it.
Accidentally? Or do you think it's more, well, you know, you seek what you're finding, even if you, you know, don't necessarily plan on it.
I think maybe it was something more drawn into them.
Sure. Well, with all the stuff that Jill does,
mm-hmm.
I could see her being just kind of a hotbed of activity. You know, oh, there's the lady that will be able to see us or knows about us.
Right.
And that could be part of it. It's funny. I mean, we've never really purposefully taken our kids to any place haunted, have we? I'm trying to think. I mean, other than like, well, we're going to this restaurant and it's supposedly haunted.
Not for the sake of visiting a haunted
sure.
place. I mean, we went to a winery that was haunted and mm-hmm. we had an experience there, but we didn't know when we went there that it was
yeah.
haunted, and Olivia was with us.
And it wasn't even for anything ghostly. It was actually for a food show.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I would take him to I take him to visit the cemetery in my hometown every, you know, when we go up there. And they ask to do that.
They do.
They are disappointed if we don't have time to go to the cemetery, which I don't. We almost always have time. We have to, like, figure out some way to make it in there sometimes, but they actually, "Can we go to the cemetery? It's creepy." So this is what's going on. This is what we're raising. Children who are seeking creepy.
Yes.
So that's, I'm proud of that. Let's go over to Star. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Star. I just wanted to call and tell you a couple small things happened to me. I've had, like, 100 of them, but never. None of them have been really honestly super scary. I mean, mainly just little things that I'm just used to. I'm just happen to me all the time. Well, I wanted to mention one that just, it really, every time I think about it, it makes me, you know, kind of happier and it helps me a little bit. It was, about 3 years ago, I decided to move down with my boyfriend and my daughter. It's her dad, so, you know, we're just not married yet, whatever. And, well, we decided to move down because he just currently lost his job. I just lost my grandfather, and it actually was, like, a week before finals. And then so when I took my finals, I failed them all. So I was really depressed then. And he just lost his job. We were getting ready to lose our apartment, and his parents moved down to about 2 hours away, and they're like, "Well, come stay with us. You know, this job's available. Get your life back on track, whatever." And I was like, "Okay, you know, let's do it. Let's just make, you know, just a change." This is get out of the scenery. So we go down there, and his mother isn't exactly the most cheerful person in the world, I can put it that way. And me and her don't always see eye to eye. She never really much cared for me. We don't get along very well, but we were trying to make it work. And one day, I was sitting outside on the porch on the couch, because we had two couches. We had one, kind of like L-shaped. We just made them L-shaped, and there was a really cold night, but I didn't want to go back in because I got into an argument with her, and I was just trying to, calm down and let the air clear and whatnot. And I just remember sitting there, and the window was open, so she was standing there, and she was just talking to my boyfriend, telling him all kinds of things that didn't happen, but, that's just his mom. She has problems. Anyway, I was starting to get really depressed, thinking, I left my whole family 2 hours away to move down here to be treated, so badly all the time, and I just wanted my own space, my own place again. And I just got super upset. I missed my grandfather. He's always been my backbone. And I started crying, and then I thought I felt this hand on my back. It was a very warm touch, and mind you, it's really cold outside. Like, I'm freezing, I'm shivering, and I feel this warmth on my hand, on my back. And I just immediately thought about my grandfather for some reason, and made me even more upset. So then I just felt like someone sat next to me and wrapped me in a hug. And I smelled my grandpa's cologne. He always wore this cologne. And it made me cry even harder. But, it was so comforting. And I stayed out there for a good half an hour, and I felt him move away from me, sit on the other couch, like I knew he was there. So he'd come back and sit next to me, put his hand on my back, and he just got me through a really rough spot. The next day, I got a job. My boyfriend got a job. Within a month, we were on our own, and things have been pretty calm here. But every now and again, I do start feeling upset. I start feeling sad because I miss my best friend, and I still kind of feel him around me. I noticed my daughter will mention how she sees her papa, and it's just nice to know he's still out there. So I figured after all those spooky stories, I'd tell one that might, kind of be okay to tell the kids, because you mentioned how you wanted to do a Halloween story with just kids, for kids that kids could listen to. So that's always that'd be a good one. Well, thank you again. I love the show. I love Jenny's addition to it. If I find one and she's not on it, I tend to just, kind of skip over it. Anyway, no offense to you, Tony. You're great, too. I'll call back about shadow people and whispering, living with my parents, because that was a trip at one point. Well, thanks again. You guys have a great day. I'm sorry I rambled on so much. Try not to next time. Thanks. Bye.
It's funny when someone's inadvertently rude and they have no idea they are. just going to skip it. Just you, Tony.
I wouldn't take it too personally.
I'm seriously a fan. I'm kidding.
Okay. I wonder if the negative energy that she was feeling with the difficult situation of not having jobs, having to live with essentially in-laws, that you don't get along with, it just sounds like maybe that drew the grandfatherly spirit in. So I wonder if sometimes that can bring in good spirits as well as bad spirits.
Like a situation where things are negative and not going so well. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I would think so. I mean, it's like essentially someone's in some sort of a trouble, whether it's, sometimes it's imminent danger that there needs to be some sort of intervention with, and sometimes it's just you need a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes if that's the guardian angel or whatever you want to call it, protector spirit, insert spirit name here. I think that sometimes they're there just to provide that.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it may not even be a hug. Sometimes it may not even be paranormal that you may be aware of. But sometimes I think things like that can pop up if you're having a difficult time with something, that something positive comes into your life. Maybe sometimes some of those things are just kind of nudged in front of us
mm-hmm.
by some of those things. And it's not necessarily ever like, oh, I felt a paranormal hug. It's just, oh, I didn't realize that this existed. I looked at this web page, came up for me, and it's something that's really interesting, and this is going to really make my day. It's something I can do or see or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. I think sometimes those sort of things pop up as well without us necessarily being aware of it.
Yeah.
As far as how or why it got there. So thank you for the story. I really appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I didn't say start talking yet. Stop. That was me pressing the wrong button.
That's all you.
Too quickly. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Deep breath. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jen. My name is Kate and I'm in Utah. I have to first tell you I'm a new listener. I've only been listening to you guys for a couple weeks, but I've already become an EP because I think you guys deserve all the money. So here's my story. I have a lot of stories, so I might call back many times, but this one brings a lot of tears and joy and sorrow, but love in my place. In my mid or early 20s, I had a really great relationship with my Grandma Jo. And we used to go to see movies. We used to gossip. I talked to her on the phone every other day. I saw her every week. And it was really nice. And the other story, the backstory is that one of the things we used to talk about is my mom's mom, that I wouldn't want to be in her shape, being like someone taking care of me, because my other, that grandma was in and out of the hospital having really serious problems. So, and she's like, yeah, I never want to get that old and somebody to take care of me. I'm like, grandma, you're gonna be fine. And so my mom's mom was going to get out of the hospital over Labor Day, and we were going to have a big family party to celebrate her. And I get a knock at my apartment door, and it's my older brother. And he's like, can I come in? I'm like, hey, what's up? He's like, there's something I need to tell you. I'm like, what? And he's like, Grandma Jo died. And I'm like, what? No, you're lying. I couldn't believe it, because during that weekend, I kept on trying to call her, but something in the back of my brain told me not to do it. Like, I would pick up the phone. I'm like, oh, I have to see how she's doing. But I always changed my mind the very last minute. And my phone never rang or anything like that. But I'm like, I still felt like I needed to call her. And he's like, yeah, I found her in her bed. She was asleep in her bed. And I started crying. I still cry when I talk about her. I miss her tons. And I had one last goodbye with her and told her I loved her and everything, but I still felt like I didn't have a last goodbye with her. And so, like a couple days after she died, I went to bed and I'm dreaming, and I see her, and she's sitting on my dad's couch, because she was there all the time at my dad's house. And I'm like, Grandma, oh my God, I miss you. Where have you been? She's like, I'm gone now, but I miss you too. Sorry, I told you I was really close to her. And she's like, I'll be always here with you. We'll always be in your dreams. And every once in a while, I used to have dreams about her all the time for the first couple of years after she died. But then now, since it's 8 years later, become like once a month if I'm lucky. So I'm wondering, do I really interact with her spirit or anything? Because it would be really wonderful if she is. I hope you give me an idea. And also, one of the things with my dreams, I dream about people who are about to pass on and stuff, and there's a party with people who've already died, and the person who's about to pass on is at joins the party. That happened right before my grandpa died, my other grandma, like my uncle. So I'm just wondering what the hell, if I'm in tune with the spirit world or not, but will you please help me? I'd love to have my story read online or on your show, and I'm a huge fan. Thanks for listening to me, and I'm sorry my story was long, but it would be nice to hear an opinion. Bye.
Dr. Jenny?
Okay, well, you may be in tune to the spirit world, but I think sometimes when we have such a strong connection, if we are sensitive to somebody, as you did with your grandmother, that you can know their feelings or feel, you know, their feelings or emotions, or, you know, if they're in pain, a lot of times you can feel that in yourself. So I'm not at all surprised, being as close to her as you were, that you were able to know when she was going to be gone. And, you know, honestly, I've had a dream very similar where I've had a relative come back, and, you know, I felt very comforted. Whether or not it was truly paranormal, I don't know, but the way that it seems so real, and I'm not usually able to remember my dreams, but that one, you know, 15 years later, I can still remember. I have to think that one was something more, as probably your dreams are about your grandmother.
We had a lot of stories today about families, kind of like the connection that families or people who really care about each other have when something happens to them, and they're not by each other. Earlier, we had that the call of someone who felt almost like the heart attack symptoms,
right,
and some of the other things going on. So, yeah, that certainly exists. And it exists also, you know, it's by example here in some of the other stories of people that you don't know and you probably never will know. But they're sharing similar type things, you know, in that that family of symptoms, if you will.
Sure.
Of being connected when not physically there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that certainly exists. And I think it's a natural, normal thing, although, you know, we just don't really have a name for it.
Well,
Or proof, essentially.
We don't have proof.
Other than stories.
Yeah, being empathic, but yeah, we don't have much proof on that.
Yeah. But it's interesting because it seems like it's the evidence we have points to it existing.
Mm-hmm.
I should say that. Patricia, hi. You're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. My name is Patricia, and I want to share a story with you guys on behalf of a classmate of mine. She's too nervous to call in, and we actually had a class tonight, just got over, and she asked me to share the story with you guys. She is a listener, but she was too nervous to call in. So her background is military. Her husband was in the military for so many years. And I can't remember exactly where she said it was stationed at, but they were there for a couple of years. And they normally just got put within base housing. So the one base that she was at was about, I think she said, like 100, 120 years old. It was an old house, but it was just newly renovated. And she thinks that's maybe why all of this activity occurred, is because of the renovations. But she was telling me that this is a three-story Victorian-aged house, and she was going downstairs to the laundry in the basement, and she said in the basement to the right, you walk down the stairs, and the left-hand side, there's the washer and dryer, and then on the right-hand side was a small room, and she said it was closed off. There was no doors, but you could tell it was a room because of the walls that were protruding. There was no door, there was no window, there was nothing. It was just basically like an enclosed room, and like you couldn't get in it without a sledgehammer. And she thought that was kind of odd. She didn't know if maybe that's where they were hiding or like if there's anything behind it, but she was too scared to find out. So basically she told me that one night her husband was out on duty and her kids were asleep. And so to make use of her time, she went downstairs to throw a load in the washer. And while she was doing that, she said that she was bent over putting the laundry into the washer because it was front loading, and she closed the thing, started it, had a laundry basket in her hand, and she went to back up and bumped into a little boy. And she said that he was probably about 4 or 5, didn't recognize him, wasn't one of her own kids because her kids were asleep, and she looked at him, he looked at her, and they kind of just exchanged glances, and then she just went upstairs without thinking about it. And I think it's because she was so shocked, like, what happened. And I asked her to describe him, and she said that he had, like, footy pajamas on. So it's not like a, you know, like an old-looking, like, like it's more of like a modern kind of ghost by the way he was dressing. It wasn't like, you know, the 1920s era dressing. So it looked kind of like a, not a new ghost, but a recent ghost. And so she's kind of scared. So she went back upstairs. And for a second, when she got up to the top of the stairs towards the kitchen, like where the basement is, she kind of thinked to herself and said, you know, wait a second, that's not right. So she went back downstairs, and all the doors were locked, and all the windows were locked, and there's no sign of anyone in there, and it kind of freaked her out a little bit. So then she went upstairs to her kids' rooms, and all of them were sleeping. She had no idea where this kid came from. And she really doesn't know if it's anything linked to the house, because I asked her, I said, hey, you know, is there any way that someone could have died in this house? And she's like, if they did, I wouldn't know, because it's safe housing. People come and go in these kind of housing, you know, all the time. So I just wanted to share that. She said it happened about 5 years ago, I want to say, 5 or 6 years ago. So I just thought I'd share that with you guys. Thought it was pretty creepy that they actually, like, physically bumped into each other. She said it was like, you know, if you go to the grocery store and you back up and hit someone and or bump into them by accident, like, that's what it felt like. He felt like a human. And she doesn't remember if he was cold, like, what he felt like. She just remembers bumping into him, so... just wanted to share that with you guys. Love the show. Thanks. Bye.
That is a new one, to bump into a ghost.
Just as if it were a human being standing there.
Yeah. Could it possibly have been a kid that just somehow got into the house or the housing? I mean, bumping into a ghost that, you know, you physically bounce off of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I mean, for a lack of a better term, stranger things have happened on this show.
Yes.
But, you know, if there truly is no way to explain it, I'm sure it is a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have seen or heard or had stories of physical interaction with ghosts before, where they're not just, you know, see-through, sticking your hand through them. Patrick Swayze ghosts. Don't they do that in Ghost? I'm picturing, like, the trailer. That's all I can think of, because I never really saw the whole movie.
Okay.
But I think like they reach through. I don't know.
Anyway. Okay.
Hey.
Yeah.
What's the song? I was gonna break into the song.
Don't.
She's Like the Wind.
That's the wrong movie. And no.
That is. Oh, that's Dirty Tan. Damn it! What was the ghost song?
I don't know. Even if I knew, I wouldn't tell you.
But anyway, is it possible? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from what we hear a lot, but I'd say, you know, anything's possible here.
Anything is possible.
So there you go. Thanks for your call. Thanks for sharing your story. Number 855-853-4802. If you enjoy this little program that we do here and would like to keep it on the air, well, consider supporting the community, becoming an EPP. Your support is what financially lets us do this show. Covers all those costs of the web hosting, the bandwidth, and every other expense that goes along with putting this thing together for you throughout the week. So please consider throwing Little Kitty and helping us do this thing. It's only $5 a month. In exchange, you get all those bonus episodes, 60 some of those, brand new ones every week, exclusive video content, and more. And we thank you for helping to keep this thing alive. So check it out, Real Ghost Stories Online. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.